Break a leg.
Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. And so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Tried to change my country, you've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
East Anglian's EDL radio show, the official English Defence League's radio station and the official voice of the EDL. We got a few co-hosts of the show this evening. We got our very own Mr. Tim Burton, Cat Strangler 101. Wow! Who let those cats out? We've got We've got Kel Fritzy, Red Fox Blogger, and tonight she is Blogger Madness. Good to see you, Kel. And not forgetting,
yeah.
Oh my goodness me, golden lad, Mr. Tommy English. Oh my goodness me.
Good to see you all this evening, guys.
I hope you're well.
Yeah, looking good here, Jeff. Looking good. How about the rest of you?
Looking good. Having a few issues with my blog. Blogger Madness left, right, and center. I've spent hours on it today trying to get it done. I think I'm about 70% there, but my blog should be back up and running properly by the end of the day.
Oh. I was losing you there a little bit. So I don't know if... if you've experienced the same problem as myself,
Kel's voice was dropping out a little bit. We'll tell you if it happens again, Kel, because it's quite serious.
Yeah, let me know, because what I'll do is I'll come to a different browser and come in on another listening device.
Okay.
It's as you're talking, it was getting better as you're going. It's strange the way that sometimes happens. You know, some nights you're as clear as a bell, and other nights you're breaking up, and all of a sudden it clears a little bit. It could be a lot of internet traffic, whatever. You know, all these sort of things, technical problems and that. But never mind, Kel. But if we do find you dropping off a little bit, we'll advise you on it, okay? Just to give
I'll log out and come back in. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Kel, no problem. No problem. We want to hear you nice and clear. Tommy, good to see you this evening as well. It seems, I was talking to Tommy just before we'd done the show this evening. He's got some good news that this is Tommy's news, family news, and maybe you'd like to share that with our chat room, and of course there are great listeners out there. Tommy, you was really excited when you called me, wasn't you?
I was. Tommy English is now an uncle.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, and what is the name that's been chosen for the new arrival, Tommy?
Poppy Vera Lynn English.
Hey, how about that?
Poppy Vera, did you say Vera Lynn?
Yeah. That's right. I thought it was Winston Churchill, but it's actually Vera Lynn.
So. I knew it was Poppy, but I've just taken on board that it's also the other name's Vera Lynn. Is, what can I say, fantastic, Tom. I'm so pleased for your family.
That's right. That's the singer, Kel, from World War, the one that boosted the morale of the troops during World War II.
Oh, she's just absolutely. I love her. I so much.
She's still going strong as well, isn't she, Tim? She's still around. She isn't.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. She's still around. And
96.
Sorry, 86.
96.
Good. Well.
You know what, guys? I am...
Okay, Kel, yeah, it was deteriorating.
Kel, you must have moved between your wires. Let's get the Zephyr on
them. Yeah, she has.
I'll see you back here in a few minutes.
Yeah,
okay, Kel.
Yeah, Kel's been having terrible trouble with technology today. I was speaking to her a little earlier, and she was saying, recreate my blog, and I'd got a link to her blog from Facebook, and I brought up her blog, and I said, oh, your blog looks all right, and then I looked at the address, and I said, what do you think the address of your blog is, Kel? And she said, well, it's redfoxblogger.blogspot.ca, and I said, think again. Because during the process of recreating the blog, she actually renamed it, or it got renamed to Refox Blogger instead of Red Fox
Refox.
Blogger. Yeah, no. And I told her this, and she would go, oh no! So I'm sure all the links will get sorted out in due course, but she was having terrible trouble. And
now I have one. My way is shoo.
Yeah. It's all these flipping gremlins, you know, the the Islamo gremlins that are climbing
Islamo
all over.
Gremlins, yeah, that's
you,
it.
You give them bacon after midnight.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Give them bacon after midnight. Don't throw
exactly
water
right
on them.
But, I was having a similar sort of problem with my blog, because as you know, I've got freedomlovinginfidel.blogspot.co.uk. I just cannot get into it to change the settings at the moment. I presume it's nothing that serious, but Kel was having similar trouble, and she ended up deleting her blog and recreating it altogether. But of course,
well, don't you go to your settings, Tim? Wouldn't you normally go to your
well,
settings?
Well, you would think it would be quite a simple process. I've done it in the past, but something has changed, and I don't know what. I mean, I won't bore the listeners with the technical
details. No, that's okay.
Right now, but
well, I know how Gamma wants me. I've got something for me to read on the show at some point. Something very, very important, EDL related, of course.
Do you want to?
Go ahead.
I've just got to load it up. I know there's been a lot of questions raised lately on Facebook and Twitter, so Hell wanted me to read this out.
That's great, mate.
Okay, so the management group made up of all your regional organisers has agreed that this statement should be made to clarify a few uncertainties that have been aired by supporters of the English Defence League. The group does not want to have or feel the need to have unity with any other splinter groups for the following reasons. Number one, they don't follow the EDL mission statement. Number two, some or all these groups are openly white pride and racist, and the EDL ethos is always and always will be black and white unite. Some or all these splinter groups are against our Jewish, LGBT and other minority communities, and again, this goes against our mission statement and ethos. They demonstrate against issues which are not encompassed in the current EDL mission statement. However, we recognise that the need to update and progress, which may or may not lead to changes in the mission statement to reflect the nation's immigration status changes and is soon to be under review. Whilst the EDL management are happy to stand with any like-minded patriots that do not discriminate against creed, colour, we will not stand with groups that do discriminate and are racist, such as Britain Fair, South East Alliance, North West Infidels, North East Infidels, English Volunteer Force, British National Party, National Front, Combat 18 and White Pride, or such like-minded openly discriminating against any creed, race, colour other than white. If any EDL supporter wishes to attend If any EDL supporter wishes to attend any of these other groups' demos, then all that we request is that you do not wear EDL colours or state you are in attendance as an EDL supporter. If you wish to have unity with these groups and you have the option to leave the EDL as a supporter and join one or all these groups, the splinter groups have minimal numbers and need unity with the EDL to make their numbers up, not the other way. If you choose to do so, then we wish you good luck. We're also hearing feedback that some supporters are unaware of the reasons why some of the leaders of these other splinter groups are no longer welcome in the EDL. So we have set out a brief summary opening why. We will refrain from openly naming names. Basically, this gets even longer. This bit isn't relevant, but what it basically means is that if these people want unity, these Nazis and all want to unify with each other, you go for it. But they are going to unify with the EDL. That's just it, basically. Because there's a unity demo on Saturday, guys, and people thought it was an EDL demo, but it's not. It's a unity demo where the BNP will be there, the National Front will be there, the EVF will be there, NWI, North East Infidels, calling it a unity demo. So basically, EDL got all these big, big numbers. That's all they want, just to make the numbers up.
Yeah, well, as we've said all along, there is only the EDL with these splinter groups. They just hang on our shirt tails. It's quite obvious this is what they do. They will never rise to where we are, what we stand for, and simply because, as I say, the things that they want to defend are the things that we deplore. You know, we've got the groups that are anti-Semitic. Well, you know, that's wrong.
How can you be anti-Semitic
stands
today,
alone in itself. And we will always continue to support our Jewish friends. And no matter about these splinter groups, about the anti-Semitism, we will never be associated with these groups, ever. That is it. We're the ADL.
Basically. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, we are the EDL. We're our own entity, and they will never rise to what we've achieved in nearly five years. They will never do that, no matter what they do. They think they get this. The people around the world, if they say, oh, we're the EVF or we're this or that, they don't know who they are. But they know who the EDL is. They know our mission statement. And a lot of people stand by that as well. So that's what I'm saying. We stand alone and we stand proud of who we are as well. And if anybody wants to associate with these groups and you want to go to some of these demonstrations, then please do not mention or anything to do with the EDL, because
basically,
it's not.
If you're
going to
go on their demos, don't think you're coming back to us.
Well,
that's the way I see it.
Yeah, you know, if you want to associate with Nazis, anti-Semites, and all these people that we totally deplore, what we stood up against for all the since we began the EDL all that time ago, we won't stand for it, okay? So if you want to go, you go. The EDL stands alone, as it always has done, and we're very proud of who we are and what we stand for. And our mission statement says it all. No matter what any of these other groups said, it's all going to be a splinter group. Never going to achieve anything. Make a bit of noise, this, that, and the other. But who's going to really take notice of people who, like that? Let's be honest.
Well, I don't get with these Nazis in this country. Is that when you get people like Shane Calvert, who basically, oh, I love my country, I'm an English patriot, but yet he's got a picture of himself next to the swastika saying, I love this flag.
It shows you the hypocrisy of these people, doesn't it, Tommy? It's a lie.
The thing is,
we cannot stand liars.
1 million British soldiers didn't die in a space of 6 years against that flag and everything it stood for it just to be flown by English people. I'm really afraid they're not English. They're not English to me.
Yeah, well, I think that's a very good point that's made tonight, and I'm glad actually that you brought that up on the show, because that is so important that we put a stamp on who we are. We're not associated with these groups, and if people want to take their colours off and attend that, then, you know, and they want to abide by what these people say, this point is coming back to the EDL, because we stand as we've always done, don't we, Tommy? That's who we are.
The thing is, though, we want unity. We want communities to unite. We don't cause division and hatred or whatever they call it. We go jackbooted our ways through city centres, as George Galloway once said. We're not there. We want unity. We want to promote diversity against radical Islam. But no, thanks to this horrible left-wing fascist press of ours, where, EDL hate, EDL hate march, EDL hate walk for Lee Rigby. And the thing is, guys, if you've got the UAF on Twitter, if you go through their pictures, they have shrunk a picture from Sheffield, and we all put out, all did the V sign at the cenotaph, so they minimise that picture, started going, oh, look, the EDL doing Nazi salutes. So I commented back, enlarged the picture, and guess what my reply was? Nazi goon removed.
Yeah, well, what can we say about these people? It was interesting because just today I had to go to the hospital today because I had to have a test done. And going in. Welcome back, Kel.
Oh, she's back. Welcome
back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better,
yes.
Kel. Much better.
What? Much better. You're not breaking now.
I had to go through hoops to get back here. I had to open up a new browser. I had to reestablish my Skype. It's been quite a nightmare for me, and I heard Tim talking about my trials and tribulations, and it has been like that all day. But if I sound hollow, please let me know. If I fade out, let me know. But,
well, it's,
yeah.
It's all worth it to have your dulcet tones back on the show, Carl. And I mean that most sincerely.
Oh, Thank you.
Is that an English thing? Is that a traditional English saying, or is it just some West Midlands thing?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I think it's lovely to have Kel's voice on the show. And when she starts singing, you know, you just feel like swooning. It's just so lovely.
Oh, you're such a smooth, operator, Tim.
Oh, I could do better than that. I get turned on by Kel's voice. I play her show in the middle of the night when I'm just feeling frisky.
All right.
You're making her blush.
I get the message, guys.
Smooth operators. We've got on our panel, wouldn't we? We've got our own Mr. Tim Burton, the crafty cat.
But I'm here, and I was interrupting our dear Jeff in that, yes, I was speaking with Jeff before we came to air, and he informed me that he had to go to the hospital. And, well, this little red fox is rather unhappy about that, Jeff.
Well, no, it's a test that if you remember before, guys, I spoke, I had a rolling test. I was taken a bit poorly a little while ago. Well, I had a letter last week to say that I needed to go this week, and it was they put a couple of leads on me. It wasn't like they normally, these ECG sort of things they do to him. It was only a couple they'd done. They put a couple on my chest, and she was doing with the thing that she's got in her ears, you know, listening to my heart, but at the same time, and it was monitoring it, so you could see it and you could hear it on the screen. It was quite fascinating. I suppose I was there about 20 minutes. But as I say, we come out of there, and I popped in. I had a cup of coffee before I thought I'd get a cab bum. I didn't fancy getting a bus and all that, like, you know. But when I arrived, I was just going to go in, going to have a quick cup of coffee before I went in for my appointment. And I got chatting to a gentleman. He's very much on the left side, if you know what I mean. But he was very interested to what I had to say. And I had about, maybe about 10, 15 minutes to talk with him. And he was trying to say, all this stuff about the EDL, this and that. I said, well, look, I'm not a Nazi. I'm not a fascist. I love my country. I'm a patriot. What's wrong with being a patriot and standing up for what's
it's
right?
It's xenophobic.
And he agreed with me. The thing about it was he agreed with me.
That's a fair time in history. It was
a very interesting conversation. That's what I'm saying, guys. When you start talking to some of these people, and he was on the left side, but when I got talking to him, maybe he was just trying to be pleasant. I don't know, but I just got the thing that he was listening and taking everything on board what I was saying. I said I'm a radio host. I said I'm a radio host, the East Anglian's EDL radio show, and I'm a patriot. But I'm not, and I just had to assure him that I'm nothing to do with what they like to portray about us, what they say about us. We're not that sort of people. It's just that the left side wants to always portray us that we're far right, knuckle crunching morons and that sort of thing. And that's just not right, because we've got some very, very intelligent and very well respected people who's loyal to the EDL in all sorts of capacities. People work in offices in quite high positions as well. But we don't talk about them too much, because we do know, as Tim will say, sometimes if people find out, it can be a career destroyer, as we all know, ladies and gentlemen, which we spoke many times on the show, that there's people out there who would love to sort of just to give some information to a boss of yours, something like that, and you go walk in the office and say, we can't have you working here, you're politically orientated. They all say you're politically orientated. Nothing to do with politics.
It's actually illegal to be the
That's what annoys me, because they try to put as though we've got a political basis, and we are not. That's what I'm saying. We're so totally different than any party or anything out there, because we are a street movement. That's it, grassroots street movement. We're not political. far from it. And that's, I like being who we are, because we are a pressure group. We do point our fingers at these weak, cowardly politicians, and we will continue to do so. And to do it in the way that we do it, I think, is the most positive way that we can do it. Once we become politically orientated, it puts us in a different field, doesn't it, Tim? A different arena.
It does. And I think the most important thing to remember is when you're out and about and you encounter people like that, is that the left will constantly seek to smear us and to try and find weaknesses and to try and divide us and marginalize us. The more effective that we become, the more that will happen. And we know that when we make our presence known on social media, like Facebook, like Twitter, like Blog Talk Radio, and we talk as we do, and people actually listen to us, we know we're making a difference. And despite the best efforts of people on the left and people on the BBC to smear us and to marginalise us, people are starting to wake up.
I would agree with that.
I don't need to refer to that poll on the BBC.
95% of the nation would like to hear English Defence League's on the forum.
It was something like this, wasn't it, guys? It was like, so, okay, so the votes are in now, and 95% of you voted yes.
Yeah, that's a huge surprise. But the thing is that we are going to find more and more that the people on the left, as we become more successful, as we become more accepted by the general public, we are going to find that people on the left are going to step up their rhetoric. So don't be surprised if you find that you're a victim of some dirty tricks.
Believe their own bollocks?
Not so much. I mean, they probably don't. Some of them probably don't. The people who are high up on the left probably realise that it is largely a matter of tactics, and that if you can demonise and smear your opponent and marginalise them, then from a political point of view, you make your own position stronger. And I'm sure there are people who in their heart, they know that what they're doing is wrong on the left, but they're never going to admit it to the likes of you and I, and they're never going to admit it to their followers. But you just need to be aware that it's happening and that you have some good arguments to counter it, so that when somebody comes to me and they say, oh, you're racist, oh, you're Islamophobic, and so on, you can talk to them in measured terms. So rather than just say, I'm not, you can explain exactly why using the term racist or using the term Islamophobe is such an intellectually dishonest thing to do. And if you explain it in those terms, then most reasonable people will come around to your point of view sooner or later.
Tim? Something that I actually found out today, actually, when I was having dinner with my manager, he said that the reason why he keeps going is because, I mean, he said that he has a completely another side of me. You know, when I'm at work, I leave it at the door. But you said that an employer is no legal for an employer to sack you because of your political views, because it's now classed as a discrimination thing. Now, where I work, you get people who are members of the Labour Party, Conservative, Lib Dem, UKIP. You know, and basically, you can all just sit and have your dinner together. It just doesn't affect you. You know what I mean? Because we all have we're all entitled to our own views on things, and we respect that. It's all part of the democratic society. Yeah, I might not agree with what they want, and they don't agree with what I say, but you know what? We just leave it at the door.
Well, that's the way it should be, and if everybody left left politics...
Employees a little bit like Tommy's boss then, isn't it, Tim?
I mean, back in the 16th and 17th century, if you went to an inn or a tavern house or something, they'd sometimes have a notice on the door saying no discussion of religion or politics under any circumstances. But of course, it was more important.
That's a good point. In
those days, of course, people who went to taverns, generally they were armed with a sword or a knife, and if you'd had a few ales...
Yes.
Started discussing religion and politics.
I could just imagine walking around a 16th century Britain saying, no pro-parliamentary talk, no pro-royalist talk.
No, don't round edge in here, mate. That's right. None of you round edge in here. Yeah. Cavaliers only.
Well, you know, Russia was like that before the fall of the Romanovs.
Silence! I kill you!
Oh, my God, it's he's crept back in again. Kel,
grab
his pyjamas and kick him out.
God, that made me jump.
He creeps in every night. Every time we're here, he creeps in, that little bugger, doesn't he?
Well, you know, I remember the first time I met Adam Chowdhury, and I shouted that out to him from behind the police lines when he's there, just going, Mala, Dak Bean, I was like, silence, I'll kill you. It's one of those moments in life you don't forget.
Exactly. But
breaking up the thread of a conversation. Only I can do that.
Yeah, I actually, just as I come into the chat room, as I say, FTG, I've given him a gold award tonight because he was the first one in the chat room. And he put a great article in the chat room, and it's on the Mail Online. And the heading goes, Muslim teacher put his hand under the folds of a young girl's headscarf and touched her sexually as he taught her and her brother how to pray. Right, and the story goes on, guys. The story goes on. Suleiman Macanajola said to have squeezed the child's chest. Court hears 40-year-old Blackburn denies counts of sexually touching a child. Attacks allegedly took place as he gave religious lessons to the girl and her brothers. And the story goes on. A religious teacher put his hand under a schoolgirl's headscarf and touched her sexually as she prayed, the court heard. The attacks allegedly took place as he gave religious lessons to the girl, who's of a primary school age, and her brothers. Suleiman Macanajola, 40, of Blackburn, Lancashire, was said to have squeezed the youngster's chest by placing his hand beneath the long folds of her headscarf. He denies 7 counts of sexually touching a child. Given evidence by video link yesterday, the youngster cried as she told Preston Crown Court she was afraid of what he would do. She said the problems began some months after she started tuition of the Quran. In Arabia? She said the inappropriate touching, which had occurred over several months, started gradually, beginning with the arms and head, then moving to the legs, feet and chest, and her thigh. Her brother, who also gave evidence, told how he and his sibling had noticed inappropriate touching of his sister and favoritism towards her. The girl told the court that touching had typically occurred as she prayed, kneeling or cross-legged while reading from the Quran. I think there's a little bit more of that story, so just bear with me, guys. The Quran. She said he would put his hand under my headscarf on my chest and he would squeeze. He would only use the one hand. The other hand would be writing something. Or he would be pointing to my brothers and telling them to pray harder.
Multitasking.
No matter how hard my brothers tried to pray, it wasn't good enough. He would always say, I was better, even if I wasn't. My brothers asked me what he had been doing, and didn't know how to describe it. I told them he had touched me up. Just bear with me while I read down a little bit further. Just try to see. She became tearful as she added, "They told me to tell mum and dad." But I just didn't want to tell anyone. Under cross-examination, a girl was asked if it was not just reasonable pats on the shoulder to say well done. She replied, no, it wasn't like that. It was never to say well done. It went on for ages. He sang going up and down. You don't do that to say well done. Defending Macandola, Frida Hussein asked if she disliked the lessons. The girl replied, yes, because I was afraid of what my teacher would do. Giving evidence, her brother said, I knew what was happening for about a month before my parents. My sister would get very upset at the idea of anyone knowing. It was difficult for me to know what to do. He favoured her and praised her. He would give her 10 pages to learn, and he would only and we would only get free. That way, he spent most of the lesson with her. He did it slyly, so we didn't notice. When it happened, she was trying to pray, and he would interrupt her. He added, "I've seen him touching her thigh in a stroking motion." The defence barrister asked, "Was it in fact a reasonable teacher and pupil relationship where touching was done to console her?" The brother said, "No, it was inappropriate." The trial continues, and I will put that link in the chat room if anybody wants to read that. Well, you've got some time, so let me just, I'm just copying that, come back in the chat, and I'll put it there, so, and then paste it, and there you go, guys. That's so that's what FDG posted to me earlier, so I thought I'd we could talk about that, one of the ones that I bookmarked there. So your thoughts, guys, on what you've just heard?
It's unusual, I think, for the Daily Mail to go into quite so much detail when it's obvious
detailed,
that a Muslim seems to be doing something wrong. Normally, the press, even the Daily Mail, go out of their way not to identify the religion of somebody who happens to be Muslim and happens to be doing something inappropriate. I suppose in this case, though, it was a bit of a giveaway, considering he was teaching the Quran. So I suppose it was a bit difficult for the Daily Mail to say that he wasn't a Muslim or to leave his religion out of it altogether. It might have been a bit obvious. But I do know from another newspaper article, and that might actually have been the Daily Mail. It was today or yesterday. I'll try and find the link. It was to do with a Muslim who blackmailed a Muslim woman into performing sex acts on him, and he conned her out of her £10,000 life savings, saying that he would expose her and put all her details for everybody, including her parents and her family, to see if she didn't keep on doing what he wanted to do and to keep giving him money. Now, in that instance, she was named as a Muslim woman, but even though he had an obviously Islamic name, it was Mohammed somebody, I think, which is a bit of a giveaway.
Here
they
come
didn't,
those fake names again.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't identify him as the perpetrator. They didn't identify him as a Muslim. And that seems to me to be a common thing that happens in the mainstream media, that if somebody is criminal while Muslim, then that the press go out of their way to avoid mentioning the fact that he is a Muslim. And I personally think that's a bad thing to do, because although the paper might argue that the religion is nothing to do with the criminal offence that's involved, in a lot of instances you can look at it and you can say, yeah, that is actually something to do with the fact that they are Muslim, because there are certain things that we see happening in the press where there is grounding in Islamic doctrine. Now, I'm not suggesting that blackmailing and coercing women into doing things like that is necessarily grounded in Islamic doctrine, but I do think it's noteworthy that a lot of the newspapers will go out of their way, and I've got the link here. I'm going to put the link into the chat room now. It is the Daily Mail. And I do think it's noteworthy that they go out of their way to avoid mentioning the fact that the guy's a Muslim. But anyway, I'll drop this into the chat room. I won't read
Thank
it
you.
In detail. If anybody wants to bookmark it and have a look later on and wants to come back and comment on that, then that's fine. But that's my thoughts on it anyway. I'm not sure what to think about the specific article you were talking about, Jeff, because obviously the case is still ongoing. But it seems to me that the guy who's writing that article might have been writing for a porn magazine at some point. He seems to have taken great relish
yeah.
in describing exactly what was going on.
I noticed that, and I was taking a bit of a deep breath, I think, and that sounds all like gratuitous, the way that he was portraying the young girl's plight. It was, what can I say? Yes, the thing about the paper, I've got to admit, it's the first time I've seen them actually go into full details of exactly why. So maybe he was sort of abusing his right of being a journalist to portray quite as graphically as what he did do.
I just think that for the Daily Mail, they go into an awful lot of detail on something where, I noticed as you were reading through it, a lot of the things had actually been covered in similar fashion in like two or three different paragraphs, and it seemed to me that he was going into unnecessary detail, which sounds like he might have been enjoying it a bit too much, but there you go, that might just be my impression. I mean, if it's true and the guy's found guilty, then it's an appalling thing. It's an abuse of power, and I certainly think that is a trait we see a lot within the Islamic community, that when Muslims gain power over others, there seems to be a distressing tendency to exploit it. I've noticed from my own experience when I've been going out and about in my daily business, I was speaking to a counsellor in the West Midlands, and he was saying, I can't understand it. He says, there are these Asian guys on the council, and they seem to be spending all their time voting things for each other and doing favours for each other. And I remember saying to him, I don't suppose any of them are called Muhammad by any chance, are they? And he looked at me shocked. He says, how did you know that? As if I was a sort of mind reader. And I said, oh, just a lucky stab in the dark. But that's what happens when you get Muslims in positions of power. They are unfortunately prone to corruption. And I don't care. I don't care if somebody comes to me and says,
we all know that, don't we, Tim?
That's a very biased thing to say. It is a characteristic that I have noticed. And there ought to be, in my view, a category of being criminal while Muslim that attracts an aggravated sentence rather than a mitigating sentence that it often seems to attract at the moment. How many cases do you see in the paper where Muslims perform criminal actions and then they get let off with light sentences by judges who say, oh, these Muslims aren't used to our culture, or maybe they're not used to drinking, or they have excuses made for them, and they get a mitigating they have a mitigating effect. Being Muslim gets them a mitigating effect, where I think it ought to be an aggravating thing. But that's just me speaking generally. Maybe you guys have got some other thoughts on it.
No, I think you make some very good points there, and that is, that's the way I think most of us do tend to look at it, that we do notice the way maybe the judges look at it, that they don't want to upset the cultural sensitivities of the Muslims, so he thinks he'll give them a lighter sentences, and that might align the situation getting out of hand. And they're all scared, aren't they? They're scared that they go rioting and turning cars over and this, that, and the other. See, once they go stamping their feet, that is exactly how they do things, the intimidation. That maybe some of these judges are intimidated, that they know the outcome would be if they do anything different. I don't know, Tim. It's wrong.
Well,
a law is a law for us all, isn't it?
Well,
it's not just for one, but it's for all.
It should be. It should be. And if the police and the criminal justice system and judges and so on enforce the law without fear or favour, the country would be a lot better off in terms of real community cohesion. What you're finding at the moment is that the people in positions of authority, like judges, like other people in the criminal justice system, our political elites and so on, they tend to talk about community cohesion, and they think that the important thing to maintain community cohesion is actually to appease Muslims so that they don't go all jihad on us every time something happens that they don't like, whereas real, true, long-term community cohesion is only ever going to be attained if we start treating everybody equally and if we start holding Muslims to the same standards as the rest of us.
But we know for a long time now that is not quite the case, is it? We know that they are treated almost like a protected species. We've got to say that. It's a two-tier system of work.
We understand that.
And it's how do we address it? How do we get these people to address the situation
First thing we have to do is to make it quite plain that we all understand that's what's happening and we don't like it. And we've got to say at every opportunity when Muslims throw their little temper tantrums, as they frequently do, when they ask for special considerations and we appease them, as they frequently do and we frequently respond in that way, we have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to give you special considerations. You are going to be held to the same high standards and the same levels of accountability as the rest of us are, and you will have to like it. And if you don't like it, there's the door, and don't let it hit you in the arse on the way out.
There should be no exception, not even under religious status. It doesn't matter. Christian people have been on trial, and the sentences that have always been, if they're guilty of something, then the sentence reflects on the severity of whatever the charge may be. And so the case should be where we've got the protected species of the Muslims.
What you were saying was, how is it going to change? Well, it's going to change when we, the people, all recognise that this is what is happening and decide we're not going to do it anymore. We've been told for so long that it's important to make allowances for these people. They come over to our country. We have to help them so that they can assimilate and integrate, and they can become part of our way of life in due course. They are never going to, as long as... it may be in case of Muslims that they never will, full stop. But the point is that we have to cease all these forms of appeasement, all these special considerations, take away everything that gives them the level of protected species and hold them accountable to the same standards as us. And we have to demand that of our political elites, criminal justice system, and everywhere else where Muslims interact with non-Muslims. And we have to speak long and hard and loudly about this every time we see something similar. And just to say that, he's Muslim, therefore you've got to treat him carefully and you've got to go around him as if you're walking on eggshells. No, that has to stop. We have to treat them exactly the same as we would everybody else.
I think we're all in agreement to that, Tim. We've seen it going on for far too long, and about time these people, politicians, whoever they might be, need to man up and sort things out properly, because there's going to be social unrest in this country. People are fed up with two-tier systems at work. Most of us abide by the laws of our country, right? Well, most of us do. We know there's the occasional criminals that don't, but most of us are dear to what we've got. And okay, it might not be perfect, but it's what we've got. And when you start changing the goalposts, people out there, the general public, are really starting to get peeved off the way that things are happening. As you say, there should be a law for one and for all, and not to make exception of any religious status what people might try to put upon themselves to align any the justice being more lenient on them because of who they are. That's not what it should be happening. But we've got weak politicians, we've got weak judges that do tend to take that position. And that is where we stand, and we speak out against what's going on, because I've been talking about this for years. I know you have, Tim. I know Tommy has, Ken has. I think most of us have been talking that changes need to happen, not tomorrow. It needs to happen now, because otherwise there will be social unrest. The things that we talk about, that we really, it's a nightmare scenario. A nightmare scenario, what could happen if we continue down the same path? And people better wake up to that fact, that if you think it happens to other countries and this sort of thing can't happen in this great country of ours, you are so wrong, you're so off this planet, you know, that you've really got to look at things in a serious way, that this is what could happen. What you see in Syria and countries like that could happen to the UK. If we continue down this path, as we've been doing for such a while, people are really getting angry and annoyed with the situation. And as I say, that's what we do. I'm very angry. I know you are, Tim. I know Tommy is. Most of us are, because we're fed up with the injustice. What's going on? And Kelly's as well. Yeah,
come on, Kel. let's hear your two cents worth, Kel.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm looking in the chat room, and Vito Esposito said something very succinct, and this is true. If we continue to walk on eggshells, the yolk will be on us. We have to stop the political correctness. We have to stop this nonsense. We have to admit that Islam is here and that Islam is thrusting itself in itself, rather, in our faces, and that we have to stop with the walking on the eggshells, and we have to start throwing the egg back in their faces, because quite frankly, we've had it. We're fed up. We're sick and tired of it. FDG, he says in the chat room as well, I follow the law, but due to the favoritism towards people from the Middle East, it is making him fearful. It makes him feel like being British is a crime. And Richard Billington, he sent an article here, and that is that there is an ex-police inspector from Blackburn. He's been charged with rape. His name is Mustaq Patella. He's denying the allegations, of course, but there are two victims that have come forward and said that he had been sexually assaulting them. He was using sexual procurement to keep them out of trouble. He's been charged with 14 counts of rape, 3 counts of sexual assault, and another of perverting the course of justice. Of course, like I say, he's denying it. These are
14 charges. My goodness me, that's very serious, isn't it, Kel? Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, it's another example of what we're talking about, where the position of power is being abused. We've seen it frequently. I mean, he's not the first police inspector. There was the police officer from a couple of months ago who gave away some information to George Galloway's office concerning Anjem Chowdhury, I believe. There was that police inspector, in fact, he was quite senior, Ali Desai. I think he was even higher than police inspector, superintendent, I think he might have been.
Yeah.
Ali Desai, who was, he was part of the Met Police. And as I believe, he got away with all sorts of things for a long period of time, because nobody wanted to upset the apple cart and be accused of racism and Islamophobia. So they let him get away with all sorts of abuses of power. And when that was finally unmasked and he was stripped of his position and thrown into prison for it, I believe after he came out of prison, and you might need to double check on this, guys, but my recollection is that he actually applied to the police force to get his job back, and the last I heard, they were seriously considering it. Now, I don't
Can you
I
believe
know,
it? Can you
I don't, well,
madness?
That's, yeah.
You,
I know,
you know, you,
mad.
You, I thought if you've been convicted of the crime, there's no way whatsoever that you would ever, you know, be allowed to become a part of the police force ever again. Because
well,
you've got,
yeah.
The point is you've got a criminal record, Tim.
Well,
that's
quite
it.
So.
You know,
so,
and when they're saying that they was considering to take him on, well, there's something totally wrong then.
Well,
it might be something wrong.
I think you might need to sort of delve a little bit deeper in that. When I say I think they were considering taking him back again, I don't know if that was because he was appealing against his sentence and having been thrown into prison. I mean, it was quite obvious to me at the time when all the evidence was being read out in court and it was front page news on the papers and so on. It was quite obvious there was so much evidence against him. I just don't see how he could have weaseled his way out of it. But you know what it's like when there's anything involving Muslims in high places. People are still afraid that their own career might be affected if they do or say anything that could be perceived in any way racist or Islamophobic. And that's why Muslims get away with what they do. And that
maybe we ought to stop the people feeling the fear to be able to say what they feel and put things right instead of cowering away from the issues, which is so important.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, Jeff.
The last thing I was going to say was it does not lead to community cohesion in the long term. It might work in the short term because it keeps everybody too cowed and fearful to say anything, but in the long term it does absolutely nothing for community cohesion because everybody feels the resentment and that builds up and eventually it's going to overflow. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say on that subject, so I'll hand the mic back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tim. it's nice to clarify things and go over some of the very important things, as I say, what Kel was talking about with what Richard Millington has said and what Vito and many of other great chat room people have been talking about this evening. As I say, I know we're all very angry, and I think most of us would like to see a change. We'd like to see people grow a backbone. That's what we would really like to see, wouldn't we? To see them stand up and be counted. Sorry, Tommy?
SpongeBob has a better backbone.
Well, there you go,
quite.
Son.
I
would agree with you there as well.
What I was going to say,
guys, I'm going to have to take a short break for a while. I know Kel has got something lined up for us all. But what I'll do, before we take the break, let's just better read out the phone number if anybody wants to call in. Some of the things which I think we're very a bit angry tonight about certain things that we've been discussing.
We're always
angry. You can't
help
it, can you? You can't help getting angry about the way things are because the injustice, the two-tier system, the things like that, it does get you like that. But anyway, we've got a number to call in, guys. If you're a Skype user and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, if you left-click on the Skype button with the S there, you follow the prompts. When it says, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to listen to the show, you press 1 on your device. But if you've not got either of these devices, the number to call in, if you're outside the USA, is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. With that, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to pass it over. Go ahead, sorry.
Jeff? Repeat that number. Kath didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. One more time for the lady at the back and for a special friend. Kath is 001-858. And, of course, especially for Kath, the 777-5934. One more time. 001-858, 777-5934. With that, I'll return the mic to Kel. Thank you, Kel.
Okay. And we are going to take a break so that people can refresh their teas or whatever beverage that they are engaging in. And, Tommy, I got another song for you. Tommy's going to think that he's
Come
my
on,
favorite.
Tommy. Sound a bit more enthusiastic, Tommy.
He's
going
to think I'm
his favorite.
Yeah, he's going to think that I'm favoring him as my favorite son. Oh, Tommy, well, you know, what can I say?
I've had over the years, I feel like a duck.
Ah!
Yeah.
You're just quacking, Tom.
This is a good one. This is actually a soundtrack from a radio program, a Netflix program. It is on cable television as well. This is from one of my newest favorite shows called Breaking Bad, and they were playing this song, and I thought, this is so Tommy. And Jeff, I have something for you a little later on as well. But Tommy, here you go. Jeff and Tim, we'll take that break, and we'll see you all back here in 4 minutes.
Floating in the river with a saturated liver, and I wish I could forgive her, but I do believe she meant it when she told me to forget it, and I bet you will forget it when they find me in the morning, wet and drowned, and the wood gets round. I'm going down, I'm going down. I'm coming up for air, it's pretty stuff under there, like I said, I didn't care, but I forgot to leave a note, and it's so hard to stay afloat, I'm soaking wet without a boat, and I knew I should have taken off my shoes. It's front page news, going down. You must have had another day that didn't need a text away to wish that I could see the way to show. I don't want no more. Going down, I'm going down. I've not seen the left, I let it slip it all the way. I made a shuttle and learned to swim instead of naps. Really got myself, I can't believe it. Why I jump in lines again, but tell me, Papa, can't believe that drink is stuck in town. This Jenny Brown. She told me to forget it nice. I should have taken her advice. I only want to go on home. I'd gladly leave that girl alone. What a way to spend the night. If I don't drown, I'll die of fright. My pappy taught me how to float, but I can't swim a single note. He threw me in to teach me how. I stayed there floating like a mama cow, and now I've floated way downstream. No, this has to be a dream. If I could find my way to shore, I'd never, never do this anymore. Like if you stay up and down, fine, I'm going down. Just one more time for now.
Tommy's pick for this program, because when I was listening to that song while watching Breaking Bad, they were taking down the bad guys, and that's what Tommy does each and every day as a fellow counter-jihadists. Hey, Muslims, you're going down, and we're going to ensure it. And welcome back, everybody, to the East Anglian EDO radio program. You are listening to Jeff and his co-host, Tommy, and fellow panelists, me, which is Kel Fritzy of Red Fox Blogger, and Tim Burton of Cat Strangler 101. Meow! Here, Timmy, Timmy, get over here. We're just waiting for Jeff to get back, but while we're doing that, why don't we do a roll call, Tommy? What do you think?
Yeah, well, we might as well, haven't we? I mean, after all, it's been a while since I've cracked the whip, so to speak.
Ah!
But I think
indeed,
we should take Jeff's name first for singing once again during the introduction. Again.
What's that? I think...
You singing during
oh,
the I'm proud to be an Englishman again.
Oh, did you hear me?
Yes, we can
oh,
hear.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
It goes
I must
like
keep
this,
myself
guys. It goes
muted.
Like this. I'm proud to be an... I'm proud
yeah,
to be an...
It,
guys, we'll give you an example here. Kel, you'll be Jeff, and I'll be the actual song. I'm proud to be an Englishman.
Proud to be an
Englishman.
To be free.
Or at least, I know, I'm free.
Well, I do apologise. I must keep myself muted when I play that.
Oh,
but...
no, it's fantastic, Jeff. We love the three-second delay around here.
I've got to, Kel and Tim and Tommy... and guys out there, my apologies. Yeah, four times I called in and it wasn't recognising my PIN number. Four times I had to call back in. It happened before as well, so I don't know. It's just it gets very annoying. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because it's not letting me call back in. You know, it's not letting me call back into the show. Like, but four times I had to put the phone down and do it. Time again, Kel. Four times that was. So my apologies to our listeners out there.
I give Jeff these calls.
Oh, shoot. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to unmute Tim. Tim.
Is that what it was?
Kel,
that was me.
While the song was playing and I forgot to unmute Tim.
And then it was me.
Tim,
I was being terribly witty and nobody was laughing at my jokes.
Oh, Tim.
Kel,
sorting out another saucer of milk. That was out of order what you did then. Give me a saucer of milk.
I was just going to make a comment to apprise listeners that next week Jeff and Tommy and Kel will be decimating the Islamic scourge with their close harmony singing, and that's bound to be more effective than anything that's been done beforehand. So
and what about you, Tim? What are you going to? Aren't you going to join in?
Do not want to hear me sing.
You sing.
Well, it must be better when you're violin.
When you sang that song to me on Skype a few weeks ago, I thought you were dead good at that.
The dodgy fatwa song, that one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll have to get my guitar out and play that for everybody.
Oh,
go on,
Tim.
Go on, mate.
You'll have to give me 5 minutes while I get my guitar and get stuck.
Oh, okay.
We look forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, our very own Mr. Cat Strangler, Tim Burton, is going to amuse you with a rendition of something that he's put together. I hope you enjoy it. So,
okay, well,
and it's on the spur of the moment.
Make sure no one records it and sells discs.
Okay, well, talk amongst yourselves for a couple of minutes, folks, and I'll be right back.
We always do, Tim.
Yes.
Kath is saying in the chat room that they're going to take my name because I forgot to unmute Tim.
Yes, take a name, Tom.
I'm sure I can let you off, Kel. Anyway, I'll be back
in
a couple
fired?
Of minutes.
Am I
fired?
Kel,
okay.
You have to press Tim Burton's freedom of speech. That is very fascist of you.
You are so totally taking my name. You know, okay. Tommy is going to do roll call, and I'm going to get written up in ink.
It's going in the red ink.
In red ink, at that scale. Tommy, have you got your red pen there?
I have. Well, the red quill.
There you go.
Right.
Also, can I just make the listening audience aware that Paul Weston is running for member of the European Parliament.
Oh, well done, Paul.
Check my blog. I'll put the link on there now for so anyone who can support them. I lost my membership card, actually. I've got to look for that.
You can't do things like that, young man.
I know. I thought it was going to be one of them.
Well, I hope he does well in his ventures. You know, I do like Paul. I've always liked him. He's a man of the people and common sense.
I want to echo my great-grandmother, guys. She wants Gordon Ramsay as Prime Minister because food would improve and she would tell the European Union where to go. If you can imagine Gordon Ramsay effing and blinding in the EU Parliament.
I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm reading the chat room, and Kath is saying, "Not the red pen, Kel. You are so busted." okay, but Tommy, when do you want to do roll call before we get too carried away?
Yeah, might as well. We've been too lean on the uniform inspection as of late.
All right, here we go, guys. Well, Tommy, we have, of course, we have Jeff. He's looking rather sharp. We have myself. I'm not looking so great today, Tommy. You have to write me up.
Well, do you know what? Looking at Jeff's T-shirt, the label says "Made in Pakistan."
Oh, really?
But there'll be no foreign purchases.
Okay,
I'm taking names.
I'm writing that down. Jeff is written up.
There'll be no foreign purchases. You only buy English.
All right, we have Kim. Of course, our resident cat. I think he's on a diet now because he's getting through that cat flap.
Yes, he's looking quite slinky tonight, isn't he, Kel? That diet is sorting him out well, isn't it?
Oh, you know what, guys? Just look at him. Look at him on my parade square, sat down with his guitar shouting spare change.
Oh, Tommy, we have Bigfoot here. And Bigfoot
looking
very smart this evening. Very smart. Bigfoot always comes prepared and always his boots are shined. Tommy, I think that we give him a gold star. What do you think?
Yes, but why is it that he polished his boots with Mr. Sheed? That doesn't count as boot polish.
There you go.
We have Cat Form with us. She's looking wonderful. We have Drake's Drum. We have FGO. And Tommy, we have to thank Drake's Drums, FGO, for the links that they have been sharing with us. We have numerous guests in the chat room. We have John566 the Lion. We have Richard Millington with us. We have Tito, Tito, Mama Mia, No Sharia. And, of course, we have Sue from New Mexico listening on the line. And Tommy, I think that everybody, with the exception of myself, everybody gets a gold star today.
Yeah, but you're still going to get groomed after the show, okay? You're still going to get your weekly grooming.
Very good.
But, once again, I'd like to thank everybody for being here tonight, listening in the chat room and to the show and contributing so much with the links and everything. So thank you, guys. And not forgetting you, the great listening audience out there. We all say it. If there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you for your continued support.
Why is a member of the UAF just tweeted me saying, "Stop it, you're upsetting me"?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's different.
Something about the how socialism's teamed up with radical Islam. Stop it, you're upsetting me. Well, the thing is, guys, if Jeff can educate a lefty, then anybody can.
Yeah, well done, Jeff. But it's true, isn't it?
Thank you.
I mean, they have teamed up in order to promote the same agenda, which is the demolition of our existing civilization in order for them to introduce their new world order. And they see what better way to do it than via importing a violent, illiterate underclass. And that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I think that sums it up in one sentence there, Tim. What you just said there is exactly the case. It's been done. We call it social engineering, isn't it, really, in a big way. And that is what population replacement is the way that things are being done over the time. And people are now wondering what's been going on. Well, that's it. It's all about social engineering and of course, population replacement, which Paul Weston has mentioned before as well.
Well,
so,
indeed, yes. In fact, if anybody would like to see an elaboration of this theme, it's well worth their while going over to the Liberty GB website,
yes.
Which I think is libertygb.org.uk, I think. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I ought to know. But, Paul Weston
libertygb.org.uk. Yep, there you go.
Paul Weston has written some excellent articles on that very subject, and in fact, lots of associated subjects. And it's well worth your while going over and taking a look, guys. So there you go. Anyway, I would agree.
He's made some great videos. Paul has.
Videos.
He's a man of the people.
I just put the link in the chat room for you there.
Respect.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Kel.
Kel wants to brag about something. I've just seen a little message. Kel, go on, if you want to, go ahead and brag. Go on, young lady.
Well, I am very proud of Tim and myself. We have engaged on a new endeavor. We are now part of the Radio Jihad Network.
Yes, you
are. We
take
our program Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 midnight. Just kidding, Tim.
Yes, okay.
11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. We had our debut show this Tuesday, and I was checking just to make sure that everything was okay and on board and that we didn't have too many problems with audio or anything like that. And I discovered that Tim and myself, our show, Freedom Loving Infidel, is sitting on page one.
What?
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Well, do you know what, Kel? I thought it was on Friday. Why did I think it was Friday?
Because I'm all over the map, Jeff. I'm everywhere.
No, I'll definitely
everywhere.
Have to listen to that. But well done.
I was
got
a great
to...
show on Tuesday. I loved it.
I'm my apologies, because I didn't realise. I thought it was Friday. So I will listen to that. Kel, if you could possibly Skype me the link for later after the show, I'd like to listen to the show. And well done to yourself and, of course, to Tim with all your endeavours that you've done there. I'm so sorry that I couldn't be there for your debut show for the pair of you. But
not to worry, Jeff. I mean, if you want to listen in archive, obviously it's still there. We hope you will join us next Tuesday, because we'll be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time.
And I do feel embarrassed that I missed it. That's 11 o'clock our time, isn't it, bro?
I always tell you folks across the pond, I'm in North America, and to our friends across the pond, it's very late for you. We don't encourage you to stay up past your cocoa time. You can always listen in archive the next day, but the show went very well. We had some excellent callers. We had
Speaking of the callers, she was on Patty, bless her, because that story, I was in tears.
Oh, Tommy, I know. People, please, try to listen to that program, and not just for Tim and myself, but for a caller named Patty. listen to her story. It is heartbreaking, and you'll understand
if you can possibly put that in my Skype for later, please, I'd be really, really appreciated. And I will hopefully, if I don't catch it tonight, I will catch it in the morning, because I'm not going out tomorrow. But well done, Tim. Well done, Kel. And, of course, you know, the Radio Jihad Network have gained two great radio hosts in their own rights. And Vito.
Jeff.
There
you
go. I've got to admit, Tommy, Tim, Kel, Vito, everybody listening, I'm so proud of our radio hosts on this program. People so dedicated to what they're doing. You know, like the Radio Jihad Network itself, it runs it 7 days a week. That runs, isn't it, Kel? Was it 6 days? 6 or 7 days?
7 days a week. There are 7 different shows, 7 different days. We have on Sunday, we have, let me see. Actually, let me start with here. You know what? What I'm going to do, I want to do this complete justice in that I announced the shows on the Radio Jihad Network. So I'm going to bring up a link right now and let everybody know exactly when they can find the times. But while I'm doing that, Jeff, I think that we have a certain cat that is ready to sing a song for us.
Come on in. So, ladies and gentlemen, I proudly present our very own Mr. Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton, as he takes to the stage with his singing guitar. Take it away, Tim.
This song was prompted by a conversation I had with a Muslim. I have to say, when I start playing, my microphone is not best tuned for singing and music, and so it's not studio quality, but I'll give you a little bit of a flavour, hopefully. This conversation I had with a Muslim went a bit like this. I was saying, if Islam is such a religion of peace, how come we look around the world every day and we see Muslims doing the most terrible things in the name of Islam, blowing things up and beheading people and so on? And he thought for a moment and then he said to me, dodgy fatwas. And I said, excuse me, did you just say dodgy fatwas? And I said, he says, yeah. He said, what happens is, he says, these imams, he says, they're not all the highly trained professionals that they're cracked up to be. He says, quite often, he says, just before they come in to give a sermon, he says, you'll often find them down a side alley. So they'll be sniffing the glue or they'll be snorting the old cocaine. So when they come in and give the sermons in the mosques, he says, they're high as kites and they don't really understand what they're saying. So a lot of the time they give out these dodgy fatwas, and that's why Islam gets a bad name. And I said, well, that's brilliant. I said, I'd never have thought that that was the answer to my question. So I was so impressed, I went away and I wrote a song about it. And this is it. Ah, give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be alright. Give me that dodgy fatwa, 2 or 3 times a night. If your wife gives you some back chat, just smack her on the head with a baseball bat. Ah, give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be alright. So I said, that explains a lot. You know, that's Quran 434 right there. And he says, yeah, he says, dodgy fatwas. That's it. That's it exactly. You got the idea. So I said, well, what happens? What happens? All the Muslims that are running around slaughtering Jews and Christians. And he says, dodgy fatwas, all the same. So he explained it to me. And I thought, yeah, he's absolutely right, you know. And give me that dodgy fatwa. Things going to be all right. Give me that dodgy fatwa 2 or 3 times a night. If Jews and Christians make you bored, just cut off their heads with a great big sword. Give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be all right.
I can see you left his screenshot in this.
Yeah, I thought it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's the answer to all our problems, you know. Give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be alright. Give me that dodgy fatwa, two or three times a night. Wonders they will never cease. Islam really is a religion of peace. Yeah, give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be alright. Say, give me that dodgy fatwa, things gonna be alright.
Alright.
Yay! Yay! Give us that a profile. Put the clatometer on for our Shiv.
And now I am getting in touch with Virgin Records to negotiate your contract.
Is that 72 Virgin Records?
72 Virgin Records, yeah!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that welcome to the Anti-Jihad's Got Talent Network. What you just heard is Tim Burton playing
Oh, well done, Tim. That was absolutely classic. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that. That was the first time I've heard that. Tim, I hope you can do some more of those because I know our listeners love that sort of thing, brother. So please put some more verses together, and I'm sure everybody would love to hear that.
Sure, I can. I'm sure.
Next up on the Anti-G has got talent, we have Sue from New Mexico and the Apostates.
Guys, I have got a caller. Now, I'm not sure. This might be our very own Vito. So keep your fingers crossed because I don't know. I've just got a feeling. 407, you are live to the East Anglian's EDL radio show. Go ahead.
I'm not going to sing. I can't back up. I can't follow
Mama
him on that one. Mamma Mia, he gets. He gets
no
a Mamma Mia on that one. That was great.
Oh, thank you very much, Vito.
Good
evening, gents and ladies. What's that?
Have we got talent or not on our show?
It's diversity. This is true diversity. Forget
diversity,
about all the other religious crap.
Go. Well, what can I say, Vito? I'm so glad that you called in because, as you know, your Radio Jihad network is really taken off, isn't it? And now with Kel and Tim part of the great network, I'm so proud of you, Vito, and Alan, what you've been doing, and the rest of the guys, Radio Wolves. We've got a great thing going on here in Blog Talk Radio, haven't we, Vito? Would you not say that?
You know, Jeff, I think we do, and I'll tell you, adding the addition of Tim and Kel, we have got a solid lineup on the Radio Jihad Network, and I'll tell you, with your broadcast and what Kel does, what Holger does, you know, we are really moving this whole cause forward, and the education process is just getting better and better.
It absolutely
well,
is.
Well, I would agree.
You know, and I
would
feel
agree
a little embarrassed
that.
Because I was mussing up the schedule for the Radio Jihad Network, and I was trying to grasp onto the Uncle Dave show, and he is Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then on Monday we have the Vito Esposito show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, you have Freedom Loving Infidel at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday, you have Freedom Quest with Eliza, Jaina, and Lucha at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, we have that lovable infidel, Gadi Edelman. Thursday, I say, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Friday, we have Dr. Mark Christian and Corey Miller at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. On Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Revealing the Truth About Islam with Usama Dakdok. So, I say
there you
we
go.
As
what a great
because
lineup.
When I say absolutely, and when I say we, I mean we, all of us, infidels. We have great shows going on Blog Talk Radio. Please check them all out. And now
yeah,
back
I mean,
to you.
We any of us can listen to terrestrial radio, and you know that with terrestrial radio, they add their spin on things that we tell the truth. That's the great thing about what we do. We don't hold back on things. We speak the way things really are. And we don't have to adapt to the way political correctness is. As we've always said, you come to this show, this is an unpolitically incorrect zone. And people don't like it, well, they can go elsewhere. But we speak the way it is. We like the truth, and that's what Vito and Al does. Vito, I want to ask you a question, brother. How long have you been doing the Radio Jihad Network? You've been doing it a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, Al and I started on AM radio back in Orlando, and we started in actually September 11th, 2008. We had a simulcast between Orlando and Dearborn, Michigan, and the Dearborn, Michigan radio station absolutely loved us. We had a prime time spot up there. I think it was 6 p.m. drive time. And then in 2010, I believe it was 2010, maybe early part of 2011, we moved over to Blog Talk Radio to broaden our show, and we're able now to reach worldwide. We've reached you guys in the UK. We have listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Germany. We brought on Usama Dakduk, and if you've not heard Usama Dakduk on Saturday evenings from 10 p.m. to 12, you got to listen to Usama. And then, of course, Dr. Mark Christian, who is also an Arabic-speaking, a former Muslim, a minister, a Christian minister. This man is fantastic. So, you know, we were able to broaden that audience.
Yeah, it's educational, isn't it? This is what we try to do. We've always been doing, haven't we, Vito, with what we've been doing on the East Anglians and, you know, with Kel's show and Holger's. You know, we like to speak about things and educate people. Because, as I say, a lot of people like to, you know, I would say going back a while ago, keep their heads hidden, keep in their own little bubble. But because of this, as Kel would say, the scourge of Islam, the way it's imposed itself on our nations, people can't help but take notice what's going on and been asking questions. And that's what we found with what we, since we've been, I've been doing this myself, that, you know, a lot of people have become more aware from what we've been doing. You know, the radio, the radio internet is really taking over from the terrestrial, where the terrestrial used to be the big baby, it seems like. We've really gone into the big roads on internet radio. I think, would you agree with that, Vito?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and what you all do at EDL and how you guys you know, present your show and you let the world know what's happening in the UK, it really helps us here in the United States, at least that's my opinion, understand what we're in store for and what the reality is of Islam.
Yeah.
And you articulate it well. Tommy does. Tim articulates it fantastic as well. And it just helps us because we're all on the same page. Put the egos aside.
Certainly are.
We're all on the same page.
Exactly.
One day I hope to fly to America and just go stand at the gates of the White House with my EDL flag and just shout for him to get out of there. I look forward to that day. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you guys save Penn Downing Street first.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gone now. That's gone now. Do you know what? I think that 10 Downing Street should be made into a memorial. You know, Britain, 70 years of traitors.
Well, Tommy sums it up right. I mean, we've often, you know, Vito, you listen to the show quite a lot. You know my feelings towards our politicians. I know you've got the same feeling with the political elites of the regime that's running your country at this moment in time. I've got no time for them. I do believe that we can do better. Your nation deserves much better, the same as our nation. What we've got is people to train us.
Not only that, but I think we ought to be bringing back the great British tradition of putting heads on spikes of failed politicians. And come the revolution, that's going to be my job. I have a couple of people on my little list. And heads on spikes will be on my list.
I was watching one of those old episodes of Mock the Week, and Gordon Brown was visiting one of these I think it's been one of these clown courts. And basically, you know when they do like those voiceovers, you know, oh, here's what they're really saying.
Yeah.
The fella behind Gordon Brown is going, yes, and this is where you'll walk when all the bricks and the tomatoes are being thrown at you after the revolution.
well, never mind the bricks and the tomatoes.
Vito's like myself, you can't wait to see the back of this Muslim that you've got in your White House, this traitor to your country. Mm. And you'll be, as I say, I've always think that the same way as what we feel in this country, that you can do a lot better than him. The country deserves much better. It's a beacon of light, and what he's done is dimmed that light over the time since he's been there, which is very sad. And I know it's become a bit disillusioned, haven't they? Some of the dear American friends of ours, with what's been going on. But they can make the changes. In the end, it's all about making the change. And one day he will be gone. Hopefully, someone will be put in the place that will reflect the great nation of the USA. And I hope the same goes here, that we put people in power in this country who does have got the balls to speak out and do what's right on behalf of us all, and not pandering to these the scourge, what we see in this country. Any opinions there, guys? Vito, your opinion?
My opinion is really simple. If you want to understand where Barack Hussein Obama comes from, just open up his June 4th, 2009 Cairo speech and read it. You know, don't even listen to it. Just read the text of it or listen to his words, and just know one thing before you go into listening and reading that June 4th, 2009 Cairo speech.
Mm-hmm.
For 60-plus years, the Muslim Brotherhood was banned from Egypt. Hosni Mubarak continued that ban as president of Egypt. What was the first thing Barack Hussein Obama did? He was insistent upon the Muslim Brotherhood being in attendance at his Cairo speech. Now, he undermined Hosni Mubarak. He legitimized the Muslim Brotherhood, who is a terrorist organization. Even El-Sisi, fast forward 4 years later, has declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, yet the United States embraces, under Barack Hussein Obama and his administration, embraces the Muslim Brotherhood. You want to know about Barack Hussein Obama? June 4th, 2009 Cairo speech set the entire stage, which also set the stage for the Arab Spring that sprung up under Obama administration.
Yeah, so he's got a lot to answer for, that man, hasn't he? You know, it is like what we said, there was the plan, wasn't it, to bring down the Americans from within, you know, bring down the country from within. And it seems like he's been trying very much to do that, very much in the Muslim Brotherhood. You know what I think, you look at him, looking in, and you do feel very much that he's very much part of a very high-ranking Muslim Brotherhood man, with Marxist influence as well. So
yes.
He's a character of an off, isn't he, Vito? Definitely.
He is. You're mentioning the explanatory memorandum. There's the other thing. If you want to read the Muslim Brotherhood's credo and their agenda for the United States of America and also for the West, which the U.K. is part of the West, it's to destroy America from within and watch its miserable house crumble. That was a writing of the Muslim Brotherhood. That was also the dictate of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, Hassan al-Banna.
That's right.
So if you want to get a flavor of what the Muslim Brotherhood's about, and you want to see what Barack Hussein Obama is doing about it, he's following the Muslim Brotherhood creed to the T.
Yeah. Vita, I was going to ask you a question. How do you think he felt when the politics in Egypt at this moment in time, they've totally outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood? How do you think that the Obama regime is feeling about this situation? Is he a little bit concerned, do you think?
You know what, Jeff, I think he's concerned about one thing, and that's saving his own butt. He was still insistent upon Mohamed Morsi being reinstated as the president of Egypt because it was a democratic election. But you know, I think what has Barack Hussein Obama worried? The fact that Mohamed Morsi's still alive And if he starts talking, we're going to find out the truth about Benghazi and the relationship between President, former President Mohamed Morsi and current President Barack Hussein Obama. I think if I'm Mohamed Morsi, I'm hiring a food taster to eat my food and watch to see if you croak.
Yeah. Well, what can I say about that? Do you know what? I hope that I see a time when it all comes to pass that we will see the way that this person has betrayed the country, betrayed great American people, and especially to the guys that was involved in the Benghazi, what happened to them, totally betrayed them. He knew what was going on, so did Hillary. She knew exactly what was going on. She watched every second, every minute of what was going on, him and her, and they could have done something. They had people that was, didn't you have drones or something or other in the area, or there was, you had people in place that could be straight in there, could have done a better job and got them guys out, couldn't they? But
that's
they sat
correct.
And watched it. They sat and watched while four great American people were killed, who fought to the bitter last. Those SEALs, what heroes they was. You know, their dying breath, you know, firing off their bullets and that. And where's this fucking help? Well, I think one said, where's the fucking help? Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen, but I think I'd have said exactly the same.
Jeff, put the bleepers on.
Yeah, but I don't do it gratuitously. I'd said it because, you know, this is what the guys were saying.
when are these suicide bombers going to land? All they're going to get in heaven is 72 World of Warcraft players.
you know, if you want to get a flavor, Jeff, if you want to get a flavor of Benghazi, you know, you just think about it. Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, two Navy SEALs, they fought off 180 Al-Qaeda terrorists with small arms. They didn't have automatic weapons and rifles and rockets. With small arms, they held at bay 180 scumbag Islamic terrorists for 7 hours, and the President of the United States did absolutely nothing. We have no idea where that bastard was when the cable came in that the ambassador, U.S. ambassador, was in peril. A cable was sent from the Tripoli embassy, noting that U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens was in peril. When that cable goes into the White House, nothing else is done but to find one person, the President of the United States, and we have no idea where the hell that bastard was.
Nah. Well, you know, I think this it's got to come out in the future, hasn't it? You know, he's got to be held accountable.
It's coming
we all
out.
Say
oh,
that about.
Believe me, Jeff, it's coming out. It's coming out big time. We are not letting this one go. We're not letting Benghazi go. We're going to see Obama sink with this one, and that bitch Hillary Clinton, she's going to sink as well. Well, what difference does it make? Four dead Americans. Go to hell, Hillary. We are on to you and Obama. You both are going down for this.
Yeah, well,
we've
always said this, haven't we, Vito, that all these politicians, all these people out there who betray our nations will be held accountable. In the future, that will be the case. It doesn't matter where they think they can run and hide to, but they will be held accountable, that people will. There will be sort of Nuremberg trials for these people. They think they can just disappear, as Tim said, you know, on their big fat pensions, and they think they can live their lives comfortable. Not what they've done to our nations. People like Obama thinks he can just swan off into the moonlight, and my job's done. I've done my destruction of America. I've done what I was paid to do, probably. There will be a time. There will be a time and a place where these people will answer for all their treacherous behaviour to the great people of our nations. I hope I live to see the day. That's all I hope. You know that we see that. You know, I think that's what we all look forward to. Those people, you know, being held to account and. Seek and have justice brought down upon them. Anyway, any views for the what I've just said there, guys? Sib, for your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I hope I live to see the day as well when they're all held accountable. It saddens me greatly that they have been allowed to get away with what they have done, both to this country and the United States. And I'm always appalled when I hear the news coming out of the United States. And I think all the founding fathers did in order to try and put the safeguards into the Constitution, which should have prevented this kind of thing happening, and they've just been overridden and the Constitution has just been trampled on. And the whole process of impeachment, which should have been one of the checks and balances involved if a president gets out of hand in the way that Barack Obama has done, the whole process is compromised and undermined because you've got Democrats with their own self-interests that are never going to allow the process of impeachment to go through because they know that if he's allowed to complete his term and to carry through the rest of his plans, that they will probably be in a job for the rest of their lives. And I just think it's such an appalling use of it's just an appalling short-term view and takes no account of the long-term interests of the country. And the same is true of in a slightly different extent over in this country too, but I feel really, really, I really do feel for the people of America. I'm not an American, yeah, as you know, but that doesn't stop me feeling very strongly about it, and I really hope we are going to see the day soon when sanity is restored.
Do you know what, Vito?
Yeah. I think you, Holger, Vlad, I think you should just be, you lot should just be the new founding fathers, and Kel and Sue and Luchador and Angamon could be the new founding mothers or something like that and find a new America out of this.
You've been put in a place of high power to bring about a new constitution.
Basically revitalise it and make it, well, I wouldn't say updated, but bring it more into this century. You know, because, I mean, yeah, it's been overridden and all that, so basically it needs to be enforced in today's society in America. So I think as soon as you've got this horrible scumbag out of that, you know, just find the new America.
Well, you know what we're able to do, Tommy, and you all do it as well at EDL? The one thing that we're able to do on internet radio is we connect the dots. You don't hear this on ABC, CBS, CNN, all the alphabet stations. Well, what we're able to do is we're able to connect the dots and draw parallels between what's happening in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, America, and who the players are. And no one will identify who the players are. Who is the Muslim Brotherhood? Who are the front groups? Whether they're in Canada, the U.S., or the U.K., or if they're in Belgium, it's all the same players. And who are the players in the Middle East? Is it Hamas? Is it Hezbollah? What are the ties? No one talks about that. No one draws... the distinction of who these players are. Who were the players in Benghazi? Well, they're Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
You look to Libya, Muslim Brotherhood. Syria, Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood. In America, you've got Muslim Brotherhood front groups from the Muslim Student Association to the Islamic Circle of North America to the Islamic Society of North America to CARE. You've got the same problem up in the
Islamic Foreign Muslim Brotherhood.
We absolutely do. And one thing, Vito, I want to share with you is that the Arab Federation of Canada has been defunded by the Canadian government because of their stance in supporting terrorist times. That just happened today.
Well, I'm pleased about that. At least what I like about Canada, I don't know about you, Vito, is that they can see common sense and they are putting things in place. They're not taking no crap. Seems like we got strong politicians that will speak out and will do what's right. And that's what's been sadly lacking within our nations at this time that we stand. So it's good to see. And not only that, I would say the Australians as well. They're pretty forthright with things as well. And that's what we need to be, a little bit more like how the Canadians are doing business and exactly with what the Australians are doing. So maybe, as I say, Mike Holt is talking about a new constitution that maybe we need a new constitution in this country similar to that. But that's what we need to do, put things in place like that and put the players in the place, people who speak out and will do what's right for their country and their people, instead of pandering to the scourge, is what we're saying. Well, who do you blame for that, though? We got to blame our politicians for that. This is it. We can't blame no one else. I mean, whatever we vote for in this country, you're going to get the same old, same old. We need, in this country, a whole new way forward. I don't know what you do in the USA, Vito, maybe a similar thing. But you need to reinforce what you had for many years with, a good leader, a good sort of person that's going to lead your country and not the Barack Obama Hussein to run your country. You deserve much better, so as we do. Your thoughts, sir, Vito? Well, we've got to wrap up the show soon as well. My goodness.
Yeah, I was just going to let you know that you have about 5 minutes of talking points, but Vito and everybody here, we've been talking about the counter-jihadist movement, and there's something that I want to share with the listeners, Jeff. Another counter-jihadist is Holger, and he is going to have a very important program on January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and here is the promo for that.
Oh, lovely.
On Saturday night, January 25th, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, The Awakening on Blog Talk Radio with host Holger Awakens will finally set the record straight in regards to the so-called Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza. For far too long, Islamic propaganda and Western media dimitude has perpetuated the lie that there is a Palestinian people, that there is a land called Palestine, and that the Israeli people somehow occupy this land. This night, the 25th of January, the lie will die. Join Holger Awakens on this special night as he welcomes counterterrorism expert Gadi Edelman to discuss just how the Palestinian fantasy was created, why it has gotten traction, and what the end result has been in the entire Middle East. The Awakening's presentation of The Palestinian Myth on Saturday, January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Be there and learn the truth. Be there as the evil of the Middle East is dealt a death blow.
There you go, Jeff.
Ooh, wow, that great sounds really promo. Good. Maybe we'll be building up for Holger's show, Kel, on the next couple of shows. We do building up for that as well. But, and I'm sure we're all going to it might be a bit late for me, but I'll be listening in the morning on that show, definitely. But I've got to thank everybody for, once again, Vito, it was great for you to call in this evening as well, and, of course, the Radio Jihad Network, Vito and Al. Absolutely awesome.
Beetle's Alan Beetle. They're mine and Tim's new boss.
We're all working it together. And
you
Tim,
got
it, Beetle. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Vito. Anytime you're there, please call in. It's always a pleasure to take your call. So I also enjoy calling in on your show, you and Al, and it's glad. And sometimes I listen, sometimes I hear Tommy call, and I thought, I'll let Tommy talk this evening. It's great.
I will not just be the face for the ED. I'll take this man's name, Jeff.
All right,
Can you hear me, Vito? You know, he's all right.
Vito, if I get another day off work, I'll be able to call in again, buddy. But, you know, with my early shifts and all that, I'll be getting 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, he works some really untimely hours, he does, that young man. But once again, Vito, thank you so much for calling in. And please do,
thanks,
anytime, brother. Anytime. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thank
Tim,
you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You're very, very welcome. Any time, brother. And, of course, Tim, with what you've done and said on the show this evening, thanks very much for your contribution. Kel, what you've done with playing the promo, doing all the bits and pieces that you normally do, thank you so much. Who else have got to thank? Oh, not forgetting Sue from New Mexico, who works tirelessly doing other different things, who's sitting there, who's listening in on the show this evening. And to everybody in the chat room and around the world, wherever you might be, you know, it's our pleasure to present these shows to you and to speak about the things that other shows, the terrestrial and the media, doesn't like to talk about. It's exactly what we will be discussing week in, week out.
I've just found something very interesting, Jeff.
Yeah.
A patriotic socialist party.
Patriotic
socialist party. Aiming to promote the real socialism, unlike those in the Unite Against Fascism and Socialist Workers Party. English rights for English people. Patriotic socialist. Oh, that is new.
Well, you can check that out, Tommy. I don't know, maybe it's the same old saying. They need to revamp it, didn't they? They know that there was numbers was falling away. It's probably something just revamped, mate.
Well, I've just looked up the website now, guys, and it's saying it's not a breakaway group. This is independent, actually, made up of British patriots aiming to seek socialist equality. This is
We shall see, Tommy. She'll see as things pass. But, yeah, Tom, once again, thank you for being here tonight. Kel, as usual. Mr. Tim Burton, as usual. Cat Strangler 101. Weird. He's playing a tune tonight. I hope he's going to play some more in the upcoming shows. That was absolutely awesome tonight, Tim.
Thank you very much.
Tim, yeah.
Copyright.
Virgin, you know what we need to do, don't you, Tim?
Yeah.
Tim, you know what we need to do? You need to do maybe a couple more verses of that and then sort of get Kel to record it or something. And we can have that uploaded into the studio and we can play that sort of thing. You know, we can play it sort of whenever you like.
It's a really good quality MP3 and I can take it to Audacity and get that uploaded. Absolutely, Jeff. Good idea.
The biggest problem I've got here is actually the quality of the recording equipment, because I'm only using the microphone on the PC, which isn't really suitable for the voice and the guitar at the same time. But I will overcome that, and I do have some extra verses for that particular song, and I do have.
I bet you have.
Some other
I
songs.
Bet you have, young man.
But I've got some other songs that I also wrote myself.
Like a little jam, couldn't we, guys? So it could be like, give me that dodgy fat word two or three times a night because I ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender. like a little jam, and then basically Islam's not for me because we're coming.
I have a couple more anyway, so you won't be disappointed. So I'll get those together.
I'll tell you what, that was really entertaining tonight. I know everybody enjoyed that, Tim. I know I was rolling up laughing when you were
There'll
doing it.
There'll be a time when basically
talk about a talented person. Well done, Tim.
Jeff, I might
have to feature this show.
During the summertime, I'll switch on my Saturday night program and all I see is Simon Cowell going, so what's your name, please? My name's Tim Burton, and I'm here to give you a song that I've just wrote.
Simon Cowell, you never know.
I can imagine Sharon Osbourne. You come onto that stage with your grey hair and your glasses on, your tight trousers, but the song, I effing loved it.
Guys, I'm down to 3 minutes now. Once again, Tim, thanks for entertaining all our listeners out there and everybody in the chat room.
Hey, Tommy, are you ready? Take care, God bless, say good night, no surrender ever.
I've got to say good night. Oh, God bless, this and nothing. Do you know what? I actually said that at work today. I've got 2 minutes, right? Good night, oh, God bless, this if not forgetting, no surrender.
I'm down to 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got mutiny here with my staff. What can you say?
Infamy. They've all got it in for me.
But, guys, thanks for tonight, and we'll be back again tomorrow night, same time, same place, should I say, same channel. What am I like? Okay, good night, guys. Take care. Stay safe. And from myself, from the panel, from everybody, take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And not forgetting, from us all, come on, guys. No surrender.
No
surrender.
No surrender.
And we're going underground.
Good night,
sir. Might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see that fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course I don't mind. To find you feel a sense for sports on its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through the flat. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Go once again. We are into archives. Well, guys, what a show we've had this evening. I've got to admit, it's been an amazing show. I've loved every second of it. Tim, you was absolutely superb tonight, bro.
Well, I'm glad you liked the little talented person.
Tim, that was brilliant.
Yeah. You've done it at pretty short notice. I said, go on, Sam, and then you got the old guitar, and away you went, didn't you? That was pretty good on short notice.
Yeah. Well, I've always got the guitar handy, just in case, you know, so no problem.
Well, it's better than the violin, Tim, you've got to admit.
Well, it's a lot better than the violin, I'll give you that. Yes.
You know what happens with violins? They get crushed by lorries, don't they?
Well, they do. They've got a sad tendency to get crushed by lorries, yes. Oh, it still brings tears to my eyes even now. I was so traumatized.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure your mother was totally heartbroken.
Well,
I think his mum was rolling up laughing, actually, didn't she?
I think she was the one that sabotaged my violin case, if truth were told.
Well, anyway, cast a shadow over you, and you know, but it moved you on to greater things, though, didn't it? As you went down your part in life, the life's tapestry, as we say.
Well, yeah,
so,
that's right. If it hadn't been for that, I might not be where I am now. So there you go. Sliding doors, Kel, sliding doors.
Sliding doors. Oh, Tim, did you have a chance to watch that movie?
Not yet, but I will.
It's really good. Tim and myself, Jeff, we were talking about analogies because Tim is brilliant with them, as am I, it would appear. And I was talking with Tim. We were going over show notes, and I said, it's almost like sliding doors. And Tim was like, well, what's that? I said, it's kind of like when you are on your way to work, for example, and maybe you miss your subway stop. Or you do make your subway stop, but what happens when you make your subway stop, and what happens if you don't, and how two universes collide, and how one simple stop at a subway can change your life.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would say that sometimes we're fated to meet different people.
Mm-hmm.
I've often spoke to that to you before, Kel. That if it's supposed to be, it will be. I don't know if you're a great thinker
yeah.
like that, Tim, that you at one time in your life, you're supposed to meet certain people. And what we've done, being anti-jihadist people, meet like-minded people, it's only what, it's like magnetism, is it? You are attracted to people with the same, same thoughts as yourself and the same drive as yourself. It just brings people together. What we've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, or what I've been doing for a long time, it does seem to bond people together because it's so serious, the issues that we're discussing. But it does draw people together. Not meeting you, Tim, not meeting Kel, and many other good people.
The premise of the Sliding Doors film was that little random events that happen in your life can disproportionately influence the outcome to in ways which you never anticipate. And I've thought this quite a lot in my life, especially in the last few years when I've gone, like everybody, I suppose, I've gone through various trials and tribulations, and I thought at the end of it, what was all that about? How did that help me in what I was doing? And I never really had an answer until just recently when I started to get involved more with the counter-jihad movement and started to get onto looking to see what I could do. I thought, how can I help? How can I do something here? And then I got onto Blog Talk Radio. But the way in which it all happened was very unplanned at all. And if somebody had said to me, even a couple of years ago, you are going to be writing essays, you're going to be talking on Blog Talk Radio, you're going to be making a difference in probably one of the most important issues of our time and children's and grandchildren's generation, the things that you do and say could influence, who could have far-reaching influences. If somebody had said that to me a couple of years ago, I never would have believed them. And then I was, when you've got a quiet moment to yourself and you think about all the things that led up to
you.
Think all sorts of little random things that happened in my life that I thought had no bearing on where I am today, they all start to make sense. And
it's funny because, Tim, I've often spoke to this about Kel, to certain things I've done in my life that leads me to what I do, right, what I'll be doing on the show, things like that, that has guided me. You wonder why sometimes we always question what we're doing in life, what's life hold for us, but it's like having an epiphany, and I did have an epiphany a while ago. And I realised what the driving force behind it was. It is a calling. What we were doing, to me personally, it is a calling. I think that's the way I look at it. It's something that I'm driven to do simply because it is the right thing to do. I can't see any other way to do things to what we've been doing as radio hosts, the things that we do in our own, life just outside of Blog Talk Radio. Like even when I was talking to that gentleman today, he was on the left side, but he could see my point of view. Whether he just was just trying to be polite and be nice and whatever, he didn't come across like that. As he took everything on board, what I was saying, it was only talking about 10, 15 minutes, But I think I made quite an impression on that gentleman, the way that he looked probably towards, you know, the way that the English Defence League was portrayed. He looked at me as, you know, quite a nice guy, you know, with not the sort of tendencies what he would expect because of the way the media portrays. So I think that's what I like to talk. I love meeting people all the time, and it's amazing that the way that you do, you know, you cross paths with people, and sometimes you know that you can change people's way that they look towards you or look towards our organisation with different things that you say. I really do believe that is the case, you know. It's that's what I felt today. I felt, you know, that when I walked away, I felt satisfied that what I said, he took on board. He took on board and he shook my hand and says, well, you know what, it was great talking to you. And that was it. That was my little thing for today, that as I was just going into the appointment in the hospital. But, yeah, it was a very interesting conversation, Tim. I've got to admit, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean about random things. I mean, that guy might go on to influence, I don't know, two or three other people. And one of those people might go on to then do something really significant, and you just don't know how these things pan out, and an awful lot of it, which seems random, I sometimes think that there is a guiding hand behind it all, and
Kel knows that I've always felt that what I've been doing is I've been guided by greater powers than me. And basically, I've said this, and the listeners, I've got to say, before I come to show, I always say a little prayer to be guided.
He does.
To what I say.
You
I'd
do.
Say that every time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
you,
exactly what
you
I do,
Jeff.
Tim, to guide me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I
think,
I am so totally familiar with Jeff and his patterns and being a counter-jihadist, and that Jeff recognized a calling, as did I, and Tim, you as well, in that we saw a scourge threat. We are standing up and we're doing something about it. And I like what you say, Tim, in that there is a very powerful tool in our favor, and that is the Internet. They can't hide from us any longer.
No, they can't.
Yes, indeed.
No.
Yeah.
We said this a while ago as well, haven't we, Kel?
Mm-hmm.
That
it
will be the downfall of Islam. The Internet is such a tool, a powerful tool, that this is really in our favour, that we are really exposing what this cult is really about. The world, it's been laid. They put the selfie under the spotlight. We haven't done it. They've done it, and all we've done is use things that they've said or their deeds that they do to portray the real true faith, which we say the true face of Islam, the one that says Islam is a religion of peace, and the other face where it says Allah Akbar as they behead people. You see, this is what we call the two faces of Islam. And I think we portray it the way it really is. And we've put it's under a spotlight. They can't hide no more. And we will continue to carry on to do what we do. And no matter what they try and do, the way they're trying to change the goalposts with the Muslim Brotherhood, well, guess what? The Muslim Brotherhood will be a thing of the past. This will be history in the near future. As I say, I do
Obama
believe I'm an optimist
to resurrect
too. I know you
it.
Are.
It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Egypt has spoken. Assisi has spoken. The Egyptian military has spoken. We will ensure that the Muslim Brotherhood gets buried.
it's us keep doing, driving on with what we're doing. And I think we are definitely making inroads on the dissemination of this cult called Islam. And yes, we do know there are some big good people out there. There are people that doesn't want to get themselves involved with some of the atrocities like some of the extremists. But we are talking about those people, those extremes, and that the really evil side of Islam will be decimated. It will come to pass. I hope so, anyway. Yeah. We'll keep driving it anyway.
It will if we keep pushing it, because we have a window of opportunity, and we have tools at our disposal which our forefathers never had, and we have the means of researching to find out the truth, and we have the means of disseminating that truth, and we're reaching more and more people every day, and the people we reach are understanding and taking on board our message. We know that's happening. And we just need to keep on pushing it with every means at our disposal. At the moment, we're talking about the influence of the internet, social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio, and so on. Now, that, at the moment, might only seem like a small thing, but it's actually a very, very powerful tool. I mean, one of the things I was looking at with a Twitter statistical tool that I've got is that when you have followers on Twitter, and the same's true of any social media, but I'm using Twitter as the example because I've got this tool here, and what they do is they calculate how far your words can reach. And the thing is, the words that you speak or that you disseminate on Twitter or Facebook or Blog Talk Radio don't just go to the immediate person who receives them. That person has a statistical chance of understanding and repeating that message. Now, with Twitter, if you've got about 10,000 followers, I've got about 8,000 followers, 8,500 followers on Twitter. When you do the statistical analysis, the effect of everything that you say on Twitter goes far beyond the 8,500 people and reaches...
It's a domino effect, as if you look at it in that sense.
In fact, it's more than a domino effect. It's a ripple in a pond effect. It reaches somewhere between 500,000 and 800,000 people. Everything that you say statistically goes out that far. And that's a huge reach for just one message. And the same is true of a greater or lesser extent on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. When you say what you say, or I say what I say, or Kel says what she says on Blog Talk Radio, it isn't just the, I don't know, 50, 60 people or however many people listen to the live show. It's all the people that listen in archive, and then they take on board some of that message, and they take it with them, and it goes far beyond the initial audience. And I think that's the important thing to realise, that what we say goes, it echoes, like they say in Gladiator. What we do in life echoes in eternity. That famous phrase in Gladiator that Russell Crowe spoke. But that's how effective we are. And the more we do this, the more people we will reach and the more effect we will have. You've got to never forget that we have this huge opportunity and we owe it to humanity to make the most of it.
Well, that's right. And that's why we're here doing what we do, Tim, because we do know, as you say, people do listen. And someone says to someone, "Oh, if you've been listening to there's a new show, which is like yourself and Kel's new show, The Infidels, if you've been listening, this is a new show, and I'll tell you what, it's quite interesting. Listen to what Kel and Tim's got." And then they tell other people, before you know it, other people are tuning in, and that's how, when we started off, when I started off, the East Anglians, didn't know any people was listening. And sort of then all of a sudden it started to fly. It hit the road running anyway, didn't it, Kel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was something totally new, something that no one from the EDL had ever done anything like this. And so it was a whole new conception, the way that we can progress our course and our organisation with what we've done. And we haven't looked back since then. Tim, you've come on board with us, and you've well, you Do you know what? I look at you and Kel, and it's, I look like two birds are spreading their wings and they're flying, you know, flying around, and you know, it's amazing.
Aww.
Transformation. The way that you know that things have really taken off for yourself and Kel, and I'm also pleased when I see people doing well, especially with what we're doing, as we all echo each other's the works that we do. It's really great to see that sort of thing, and it seems like you're really enjoying this this new thing in your life, Tim. But maybe a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have thought that.
Well, no, I would never have thought of it. A couple of years ago, I didn't even know Blog Talk Radio existed until about 6 months ago. But yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, if you'd have said to me that you're actually going to make a difference in the counter jihad movement, you know, I'd have thought, well, I'm interested, but I never thought of myself as being somebody influential or somebody who could make
you
a difference.
You are.
Thank you very much.
It's amazing now that you do transform.
You're in it.
You know, I look at it that way, that you don't realise, you know, some people say to you, you know, you don't know what you've achieved now. And I think, well, I'm only doing my bit. It's only doing something that's important to myself and to other people, that we share what we've, our knowledge of the issues of Islam and the things that we always talk about. You know, and I suppose a bit of wisdom as well over the years. You know, I suppose you'd be able to talk to people in that sense that they can take on board the things that you say and can use it to their own benefits. We all say we just like people when they've listened to a show, not to listen to what we say, but to do a study, get your own Quran, get some of the hadiths, read the hadiths, read the surahs, and anything you can. Learn about your enemy. Learn, and you can. That is all part of the war strategy. Know the enemy and know how to deal with the enemy at the right time, especially if you're debating with people. And one day, Tim, I hope to see you in debates, maybe on shows with the debating with the Muslims.
I have a feeling that we're going to see Tim in further exposure.
Well, yeah, that's right. You just let me out that Jeremy Paxman. I'll make mincemeat of him.
You know, with Paxman, he just tries to get under your skin, Tim, and you have got a personality that you will not let him drag you down. You will make sure you make a point if the day comes to that. You never know. As you say, you don't know the way things have been going. All of a sudden, you might find that there's an interview that has been set up and that you'd be planning for it. Well, you just say, that's the way it goes. With anti-jihad, people become popular, and this is the voice, and you could possibly be doing that sort of role. Who can tell, Tim? Only the stars.
You never can tell. But one thing I'm grateful for is that I missed that subway stop, and my sliding door shut in front of me, and I had to go back up and go back on the main street, and all of a sudden I met somebody named Tim. If I had gotten on that subway, that chance meeting never would have happened.
Same with you.
If I had made that subway stop and I had gotten through those sliding doors, I would have just carried on my way. I never would have had to go back up on the street, and I never would have met you, Jeff. Everything happened.
Well, I think you know the way I look at it, Tim and Kel. I look at it that it was destined that we was all going to meet, that this was the grand plan for us all, that we are guided by, you know, the greater powers have been guiding us in a way. And it's the same. Sometimes when I'm talking on shows, I think, my goodness, did I just say that? And it's as though there's a driving force that it manipulates you a little bit of what you're doing. But as I say, if you believe in things like that, who can tell?
And that is to our listeners
as well. You never know.
We better
as long as we get
therapy.
The right message and people listen and like the truth, what we do, Tim, and I think they do, and what you've done tonight, the entertaining part tonight, It's I think it's
Yay!
Delta Show tonight, Ben. Yeah,
yeah,
it was very entertaining.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You have to do that more often, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, maybe I will. A couple of verses every week, and I've got two or three little songs like that I've written.
Oh,
and
we can have a couple of shows where we'll just do a few little things like that, and occasionally just bring it on, Tim. Got
the,
a new one?
Jeff got something new
for you.
Yeah, I need some slightly better recording equipment, but apart from that, it's all good. But
Tim, I've got to admit, tonight, when you said you've got problems with recording devices, whatever, to me, what you did, doing it live as you did, at a drop of a hat, basically, I think you've done excellent tonight. And I suppose if you had recorded it, it would probably sound even better. But to me, you've done great. Well done. And I want to hear more of that, Tim. It was really entertaining tonight as well. But anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you both go because... And I do feel disappointed that I missed your debut show, Tim and Kel.
Well, don't worry about it, Jeff. I'll send you the link via Skype for you.
Yes,
but it was
please,
very good. We had a wonderful caller.
It was a wonderful show. It was a great show.
Well, I'm very proud of you both. You know that. And once again, thank you for all the help you do with the East Anglian ZDL radio show. Tim, you're a great panelist and... I'm glad I met you, mate. You know, it seems like I've known you forever.
Well, likewise, Jeff.
Yeah. It's the way that life is, isn't it? It's pretty cool. We meet some cool people out there. We meet some people out there that want to take our heads off, but at the same time, we meet some really great people, don't we?
We do.
I mean, we've all got fat words against us. That fat week scene. It was absolutely classic. I loved it.
Jim can't afford a fat. Wow. He will never get through that cat trap. That cat door.
Yeah, so we need that's some thin ones.
I was going to wonder if you'd like, would you like to close? I just want to make a little bit of a shout out to all of the military that's serving out in Afghanistan, all of our great serving soldiers, our lads and our lasses. From America, Canada, wherever they might come from, we're all thinking of you. And I know it won't be too long and you'll be home with your families. So my thoughts for myself and Kel and from the East Anglian ZDL radio show as a whole, take care out there, guys, and hope you'll be home very, very soon with your families. Kel, your last thought for the evening?
Wonderful show. Wonderful show, and I have the perfect closing song for our men and women in the military. Jeff?
Absolutely superb. So before we close the show and sign off for the evening, Tim, your final thoughts before we say goodnight?
Well, only to say that I shall be back again soon with some more tunes for you. They're
Yay!
Going to be deeply irreverent, and I'm sure there will be a few people who will have something to say about some of the verses that I come out with, but I've got quite a selection, so there'll be something for everybody.
I'm really, as you know me, I'm looking forward to the next episode, or whenever you put them together. Just give me a bit of a shout and you'll be back on. You'll be that superstar again for the night. So thanks for your final thoughts. Kel and Tim, both of you, I will catch up with you tomorrow sometime. If you want to talk to me before, you can always Skype me. You do know that, guys.
Absolutely.
So with that.
Just to let you know, Jeff and Tim, I'm going to be a guest on Far Right No Apologies tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be discussing the differences between the Canadian healthcare system and Obamacare. So, I'm everywhere.
Tim, I was going to say, Does she ever sleep, mate? Yeah, Kel.
Yeah, it's great to have somebody who's on so many shows. And I'll tell you something, you would have been really, if you'd have listened when you listen to the Freedom Loving Infidel debut debut show that we had on Tuesday. You'll see what I mean. She's a real, real pro, and she made that show flow so smoothly. You would really have been proud of her. I can tell you that now.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you both anyway. You do great works and that, and what can I say? But anyway, Tim, I will catch up with you a bit later, buddy, okay? And Kel, I'll speak to you tomorrow sometime. If you do want to give me a call, whatever, if there's something you need to talk about, please do. We still need to have this conference call, which I've been so busy, Tim. Kel will tell you,
I was on the phone
for 3 hours yesterday afternoon, mate, trying to sort out some business. It was a totally pain in the backside, but guess what, Tim? Got things sorted, mate. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, if we can find an hour over the weekend at some point, that'll be good.
Well, what I'll do is I'll give Ivan a call and we'll set something up. And I'll give Kel a call and Ivan, and then we'll get a little conference thing going, and we'll go ahead and discuss some of the things that we was talking about before. Okay then, buddy? So with everybody listening out there to the show for this evening, we're signing off for tonight, but guess what, guys? We'll be back again tomorrow with some more interesting things, and maybe Tim will give us another tune. You never know. If we keep
you never know.
About, he'll give us another tune.
Hey, let's hope.
So there you go. Anyway, Kel, I'll let you play the tune for tonight, and I'll see you both tomorrow. Cheers,
guys.
Absolutely,
Tim. Have a great evening, both of you. I'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thank you, Kel.
Okay, see you then, Kel. See you, Jeff.
See you later, Tim.
I'm sorry that I left you, I know you feel alone, but God told me that He needed me, He called me to come home. In what seemed to be an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, an angel gently took my hand and led me toward the sky. As I ascended into heaven, beyond the pearly gate, angels were rejoicing. Then I saw His radiant face. God's eyes shone down upon me from the glory of His throne. He said, enter into paradise, 'cause heaven's now your home. I fought the fight, I finished the race. Throughout the trial, I kept my faith. No longer do I suffer, my body's been made whole. I'm flying with the angel, and heaven's now my home. God told me not to worry, He said you'd be okay, because eternity's forever, and we'll meet again someday. I fought the fight, I finished the race. Throughout the trial, I kept my faith. No longer do I suffer, my body's been made whole. I'm flying with the angels, and heaven's now my home. I'm flying with the angels, and heaven's now my home.
Oh, wow. What a tune, Kel. Thank you so much. And for any of our
Jeff,
listeners out there,
my absolute
I hope
pleasure.
You enjoyed that as much as I did, and Kel. And
that,
of course,
that goes out to all the fallen men and women in the military,
Amen.
Western world. And we want to say, Jeff was speaking about our military. We acknowledge all our military, and we also acknowledge those that do not make it home to their loved ones, and that is for you and your family.
Ah, bless you, Kel. That was absolutely beautiful. But anyway, Kel, once again, thank you so much for that was quite moving, actually. I was quite filled up, I did, with that. It choked me up, that did. That was lovely. But thank you so much, Kel. And I'm going to let you go now. Thank you so much for what you've done this evening. Action-packed show we've had tonight, haven't we, Kel? As we normally
Absolutely. Oh, Jeff,
so we don't
it was a
get quiet
show.
Shows, do we, Kel? We don't get quiet shows.
That's right. I had a song for Tommy tonight, but I have something very special for you tomorrow night.
Have you? Oh, I'm looking forward to that, Kel.
A little
You're
teaser.
Always, ladies and gentlemen, Kel's always surprised myself and Tommy. Tommy's looks, oh, what's she doing? Oh, my goodness me. I know he's chuffed. I know he is, and like myself. But thanks, Kel, for all what you do. And I'll speak to you soon, okay, Kel? So,
absolutely.
And you know what we didn't talk about tonight? What we meant to do was that, what I was talking about, Tommy Robinson? Maybe we'll...
because of my audio issues and I had to call in on another device, I could not download it. It was a real... It was being a real pest for me,
Yeah, I know.
Internet.
No problems, Kel. Maybe we'll have that sorted out for tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
we can probably do it tomorrow night. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay,
then.
We'll do that one of the first things. If you got it all sorted out, so I know you've had a pain today sorting things out. But anyway, Kel, thanks again for all what you've done tonight. I know you've had a few nightmares, but been a great show, though. So absolutely.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Loved every second of it. So, okay, guys, with that.
I say, boss, fantastic show. I know he hates that, but I do it anyway. I drive him crazy.
Okay, well, we're going to end this episode now. So, good night, guys. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. Don't forget myself, Kel, and for all the team of EDL, everybody out there, no surrender ever. And
no
this
surrender
is the end.
Ever.
Signing off for the evening. Good night, guys. Good night, Kel.
Good night, Jeff.